Well, again, happy Father's Day to all of you that are fathers and have mentored someone or fathered someone along the way. It's good to be here on this day and to think about our Heavenly Father as well. Just a couple of announcements that I'd like to make as we begin this morning. One is that welcome back to the Waxlaxes. We haven't seen you for, what, a year now? Is that right? Well, you got to stand up so you can see how much you've grown. We want to see. So the question is, have you shrunk or have the kids grown? You're dwarfing now. Oh, you're going up. Okay, great, great. So what do you think there, Grandpa? Yeah, pretty good, huh? Okay, that's good. Well, we want to welcome them back. The other thing is that many of you came maybe thinking that today was Confirmation Sunday. And I think it's kind of funny that as we talked about going on the trip to Kentucky, which is where we were all last week, and by the way, if some of you tried to get in touch with me, going out of the church parking lot last Sunday, my cell phone died. And so all week long, I was without a cell phone. And I want to tell you what, I didn't realize how dependent we are on those with texting and emails and calls. And so if you tried to get a hold of me and I didn't respond, it's because I had a dead phone. But I'm up and running now, so that's good. But we had a wonderful time at the Ark. And as we left on the trip, remember I said, you know, I don't know whether you should pray for the kids or pray for Cheryl and I. I just want you to know that three of the four kids are not here today, but I am. So what does that tell you? On the way back, because you've probably heard the rumors and stories and all of this, but on the way back, one of our kids tested positive for COVID. And of course, we'd been in a van together for 12 hours of drive time both ways. We've shared hotel rooms. And so we came back a little bit early because of that. And now the second one has tested positive for COVID. And so that's kind of what happened. And that was the end of the trip. But we were able to do all the important things. And that was good. And we're doing fine. But thank you for your prayers. I think it's one of the best trips I've gone on with kids. And we had just a super time. We can tell you more about that. But here's an interesting thing that I didn't get to Mary Alice about it, and I didn't hear her say it. Sometimes it's hard for us to hear back here the prayer requests because of the speakers. But last Sunday, as I was leaving, I stood in the doorway back there, and I had just a really good conversation with Paul Benson. And many of you know Paul Benson grew up near Bob Lake and actually cleaned tables, a real servant's heart, quiet guy. But on Wednesday nights and stuff and Sundays, he would often wipe down the tables and a great servant's heart. Well, this past week, Paul fell and broke a hip and passed away on Wednesday. And so pray for the family as the kids have gathered now. And the funeral will be Sunday afternoon, July 3rd. Sunday afternoon, July 3rd at 2 o'clock here at the church. So those are the three announcements I needed to make today and important things to us. Well, this is Father's Day, and I want to begin with reading some scripture because I'm keenly aware of the fact that in many places, including churches, Father's Day is being ignored today for various reasons and social ideas. But God does not ignore the matter of fatherhood and calling fathers to live their calling as dads. But even beyond that, God himself has chosen that we would call him Father. That was his choice. What should we call him? When our granddaughter was born, we said, well, what do you think Molly's going to call us? And which grandpa and papa and all those names that many of you are called by your grandchildren. So what does God want to be called? Well, God has chosen to be called Father. God, our Father. That's why we pray. Our Father who art in heaven. And I will never apologize for the fact that our God is to be called our Father. And the scriptures speak to that. Come, bless the Lord with me, for the Lord is like a father to his children, compassionate and merciful, filled with endless love. He forgives our sins, and he heals the sickness within us. He surrounds us with love and mercy and fills our lives with good things. Come and sing praises to God. Rejoice in his presence, for he is our God, a father to the fatherless and a defender of all who need protection, the one in whom the lonely will find a home and the prisoner finds release. Bless the Lord, the God of our salvation, who sustains and strengthens us day after day. For this is our Father's world. And this morning we're going to sing some songs about our Father, the Father that we share. Will you stand as Jim comes and leads us in those songs?
And for those of you who, in this side, who feel really crowded, there's all kinds of room over here. This is full to the gills and all kinds of room. So while we're singing this song, if you just want to move over here, that would be great. This is my Father's world. We're going to sing every verse, 1, 2, and 3. Be happy where you're sitting, so you may be seated. Page 718, we're going to sing verse 1, day by day. Every one of the songs we sing today has the Father in it somewhere, and this is another one of those.
Here is God, His time beyond all.
Thy Faithfulness is the last song at this set, and we're going to sing one verse only. This is a song you probably should be able to sing by heart, because we've sung it so many times, and everybody likes this song. You go to a church, and they're singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and the volume just goes up. Okay, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
And so those songs really give to us a framework and a definition of God the Father, of God the Father, and what it is that a father is called to do. What is in the job description? Well, God honors that in his work toward us, his children, in that he, first of all, provides for us. All of those songs speak to God the Father providing. Secondly, God the Father protects us. He protects us. And the third thing is that he is present. Now, when you think of those three words, the sweet peas of being a father, provision, protection, and presence. Just think, dads, if we could do those things, provide for our children, protect them, and be present for them. That's what God the Father does for us. It's great. Well, our call to worship today is Scripture. And I served a church a number of years ago that it was their tradition and it was their value, and it was one of the cornerstones of that church, that the Scriptures, when read, were always risen for, that we would stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. And this morning, you and I together in the call to worship will be speaking the Word of God. And then we're going to sing a wonderful little chorus on the tail of the call to worship. Behold what manner of love the Father. And so I'm going to invite you to, for the reading of God's Word together this morning, would you stand in the honor of His Word? From 1 John chapter 3, and from John chapter 1, verse 12. See what manner of love the Father has given to us. See what manner of love the Father has given to us. Behold and see what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. Let's sing this little chorus. It's a good one.
The Father has given us.
You may be seated. So I invite you to go to prayer with me. Father, thank you so much that we can be called the children of God this morning. Thank you, Father, that there are none of us in this room that are fatherless this morning, regardless of what our father or who our father was, whether we knew our father or didn't we know our father, whether our father was a good father or not a good father. This morning, Lord, we come to this worship service, and we are grateful that you are our Heavenly Father, and that through Christ, you have adopted us into your family, and that we are the children of God, never to be fatherless again, to have a father that provides for us, that protects us, and that will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. It causes new life to be blown into this day called Father's Day. And Lord, for those of us that are fathers today, for those of us that have children that are biological or children that we've mentored along the way, that we have a pattern, that we have a job description, that we have a model in you that we can look to. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that empowers us to be all that you've called us to be as daddies. Thank you for being our Abba, Father, Daddy today. Lord, we have not forgotten that, and we will not let our culture cancel that today. We will not allow that to be canceled. So thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring to you, as our listening Father, all the concerns of our hearts, the fears, the anxieties, the questions, all of those things we can bring to you. And we have lots of those, Lord. There's lots of those things stirring in us. There are those today that are asking the question, why? Why this or why that? Why did someone die? Why is someone sick? Why am I sick? Why did I lose a job? Why am I struggling financially? Why does this habit keep haunting me? Father, we ask why questions. We bring them to you today. And we are grateful that as our Heavenly Father, you can administer the salve that heals. You can bring reconciliation in relationships. Father, we are so grateful. And we are so grateful this morning that this is your world. This is your world. This is your world. Everything in it. From the beauty of creation to the ugliness of how we operate as humans sometimes. Father, we are alarmed at violence in our country. We are alarmed at hatred in our nation toward people. We are alarmed at speech that we hear within those that govern us, between each other, the venom that is spoken, lies that are told, Father, from both sides all over. And we just see the effect of the fall and what sin does and how it brings death. And we are so grateful that this is your world. And that in some way you superintend over it. And so we lift these concerns of ours to you today. We ask, Father, that you would replace fear with faith. That you would replace sickness with healing. Division with reconciliation. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for those that are hurt in the expression of sin in our country. Those, Father, who have experienced the pain of shootings and loss of family members. For those, Father, who today are broken inside, whether it be grief or whatever, and we ask for your healing touch upon them. And Father, while we realize it's your country and your world, your globe, your solar system, you've allowed us to for now govern. And so this morning, as your word instructs us, we pray for those who govern us. We pray for Governor Waltz this morning, and we pray for President Biden. And we ask, Father, that you would give to them holy insight. That, Father, where there needs to be encouragement in what they know is right, that you would encourage them. Where there needs to be correction, where they are wrong, that you would do that. Where there needs to be voices that speak to them, discerning truth from error, right from wrong, that those voices would be heard. And then, Father, give to them the courage to act on what they know to be right. Give them boldness. Speak to them, Father. So we lift both men up to you today and others who are in governing us, those in our legislatures, both state and national, those in our Supreme Court. Father, we lift them all up to you. And we would pray that you would show yourself, and that, Father, you would be the one that they look to. Not the polls, not the votes, but you. So thank you, Lord, that we can bring all of these concerns to you. Thank you, Father, that this is your world. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing, as you're able to sing the worship songs today.
In this time of desperation, coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised.
Let me say one more word about the Confirmation Sunday that was supposed to be today. I notice in the bulletin that there's information that's conflicting. It says on one page that Confirmation Sunday is going to be next Sunday. That's not true. I'm not sure where that one came from, but Confirmation Sunday has been rescheduled for Sunday, July 10th. Sunday, July 10th, the Sunday after 4th of July weekend. So disregard next Sunday in terms of that event. The other thing I want to say about the trip is that certainly when I go to the Ark, it always stimulates me in a way that, in a good way and a bad way, because I realize as I walk through the Ark and the Creation Museum how in deficit I am of my understanding of creation and the foundation upon which God has built the world that is His. And I realize how trite I've made it often, and even in our life in the church, how we give a flippant head nod to the idea of the Creator God and the Father God. And it's almost as though that's not important, just talk about Jesus. But the problem is that you can't talk about Jesus without talking about creation. And you can't talk about salvation unless you understand creation and understand the foundation. And in fact, if you don't believe in that foundation, there's a crack in everything from there on out. There's a crack in what you understand to be authoritative in your life. And so the detail of that really is important. And what I realize as someone who's been a church leader for almost 50 years now is that we neglect that so often. Most of you have no clue about creation. I mean, you know what Genesis says. And many of you have disregarded it, frankly. You've just said, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to even think about it. It's too complicated. And what do I know about it? And it's not important. I'm just going to take the New Testament and go from there. And I have to tell you, it has left us in a weakened place in faith. It has weakened us. And many of the social, cultural debates now are based in that weak foundation that we have. So having said that, I really would like to, again, open up an invitation for a church trip to the Ark. We did it once, and there were like 30-plus of us that went, and many of you wanted to go but couldn't go, simply to say to you that we are going to do another Ark trip. We have to do another Ark trip. And it's not for old people, friends. It's not simply for old people. When the dates are announced, if you work, figure out a way to take some vacation days. We'll make the trip so that it's reasonably priced within a time frame that we can go, but we need that information. You need it, and I need it. I've been there 3 times, and every time I go, it strikes me. And the last thing I want to say about that trip is that I can't say enough about the hope that I have in the 4 kids that were with us. Those 4 confirmands that we're able to go are, they're just a class act. And to watch them at the Ark and spend time with them encouraged me so much and gave me hope in terms of, it's a small group, I know, and you don't see them very often. Maybe they're blending in, and we look around and we say, we're a gray-haired church. And yeah, there's certainly, in terms of majority, the majority of us are kind of old codgers. I get that. But I got to tell you, the 4 kids that went are cream of the crop, gem, my love and appreciation and admiration for them. And the manner in which they took in the information at both the Ark and the Creation Museum was an incredible encouragement to Cheryl and I. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for those of you that contributed to allow this trip to happen. If you're not aware of it, this was our church's gift to each one of those 4. The kids and the parents paid nothing for the kids to go, and we were able to do a lot of great and fun things, and it was because of your gifts and your generosity. And I want you to know it did not go unnoticed the last morning in the hotel, the two guys that were in the room that I shared with them on their own looked at me and said, "We've got to figure out a way to say thank you to the church." And I was just, out of the clear blue it came. And I was so moved by their sense of gratitude for their home church and what you had done to provide for them. So anyway, that's that. So this morning is Father's Day. And we're thinking about God the Father and the model of God the Father. Why is it a God who is not male? You understand that when God says that, "Call me Father," that is not to say that we're talking about a human sexuality question. We're talking about a name that he wants to be called and a role that he is playing. And so he said, "Call me Father." And why is it that he would want to be called Father? And where do we see in Scripture the idea of God the Father? Well, we see it best in Jesus, friends. It's Jesus. When you read the New Testament, you will find Jesus frequently speaking about how he is unveiling for us. He is unveiling for us. He is opening the curtain so that we will know who the Father is. That one of his functions on planet Earth, one of the functions of his years walking with us, was not only to be the Son of God, but to show us his Father, to allow us to know who the Father is. And he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've listened to me, you've listened to the Father. If you've watched the miracles that I do, you've seen the power of the Father. In seeing me, you now know who the Father is." And when you pray, when he was asked, "How do we pray?" he says, "Address him as Father. Our Father, who art in heaven." And so the idea of the Father God is really central to our strength as Christ followers. You cannot say Jesus only and I'll ignore God the Father, in the same way that you can't say, as we learned last week, you can't say, "I'll talk about Jesus, but I won't talk about the Holy Spirit." There is a reason we have a Holy Trinity. There is a reason why we talk about, in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Father God is important for us to understand, so important that Jesus gives us a parable about a father and his sons. And we find it in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. Allow me to read the scriptures for you this morning, and listen to the story of Jesus. And he said, Jesus said, the one who is going to show us the Father, tells this story. "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.'" Have any of you ever had a kid like that in your house? Oh, some of you are laughing. You do have one. Maybe you still do. "I want what's mine. I want what's mine." So, what did the father do with that? He divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and he left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. Have you ever given your kids money to go to the state fair and they were out of money in 10 minutes? Okay, you get an idea. It was dissipated. He wasted everything he had. And after he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine that came through the country. And he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry that he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses, and he said, "All of those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my daddy, and I will say to him, 'Daddy, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you.'" Now, why would he say, "I've sinned against God"? because he didn't honor his father and mother. He had broken a commandment. He had broken a commandment. And I've also sinned against you, Daddy. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got up and he went home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out to him and he embraced him and he kissed him. And the son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We are going to feast. We are going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. Lord, speak to us about the dad today. Speak to us about who you are, so that we might bask in the love of the Father, so that we might know our Daddy. For we pray this in your name. Amen. A couple of things about the Father this morning that I want to lift out to you to think about. The first thing we learned in the parable, the story that Jesus told, is that this Father gave his Son free will. The Scriptures teach us that God has given us free will. He's given us free will. Now, free will is an interesting thing. Free will means that you're free to make a choice. God has given you today a choice. He's given you the freedom to do what's wrong. Now, I don't understand that. I've questioned that. I've tried to figure it out, and I haven't been able to figure it out. Because he gives us free will even when that lets us move away from him. The prodigal son was not ready to take his share of the inheritance at all. But the father gave him his share anyway. He was not prepared for the money, but the father gave it to him. The son cared much more for the things of this world than he did for his father. And the Scriptures tell us he had a lack of respect and a lack of appreciation for his dad. So God gives us free will as our Heavenly Father, even when our choices hurt us. But he also allows us free will not only when our choices hurt us, but when they let us go our own way. In verse 13, it says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he went to the distant country. You see, our selfish desires will blind us to God's will. I don't know if you've noticed that in your life, but I've noticed it in my life. Whenever I become selfish, I lose sight of God's will in my life. I promise you that'll happen to you. I promise you that. Become selfish. Live selfishly, and you will lose sight of the will of God for your life. Sometimes people say to me, I don't know what the will of God is for my life, but this is what I want to do. I want it my way. And I think to myself, you will never see God's will clearly if you live selfishly. And maybe some of you today are living selfishly. When you say, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to do the things I want to do. I'm going to live my way. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live to please me. I promise you, friend, you will not see the will of God in your life anymore. It will become fuzzy. You will find yourself going down the wrong road quickly. And that's what this guy was doing. He had become too focused on himself to see what God's best was for him. God knows the best way for our lives. We read that. We see it. But he still allows us to make choices. And oftentimes those bad choices take us down the wrong road. I remember when my dad did that to me years and years ago. In fact, I understand that the story I'm going to tell you, that the evidence of it is still around. That's what the Nelson boys tell me that live across the road from where I grew up. because when I was about 10, 11 years old, it was time for me to move into the next bike in my life. Dad said I could have a new bike. It was going to be my birthday gift. We went to Stewart's in Duluth, and I looked at those bikes, and I knew exactly the bike I wanted. I wanted a Schwinn Stingray. I wanted the Stingray. Remember what a Stingray bike looked like? They were the first bikes with a banana seat. They had a banana seat. Do you remember what else? They had handlebars that came up like this. You remember that? Some of you are going, yeah, you remember that. The Schwinn Stingray bike, and the tires were small. Remember that? They were small. I had to have one of those. I wanted a Schwinn Stingray, and I wanted it in that goldy orange color, you know, because that was the color in all the ads. And I said, Dad, that's the bike I want for my birthday. And my dad said, do you remember where we live? We live on dirt roads. He said, you know what that little bike's going to do on dirt roads? I didn't care. I wanted that bike. I wanted that bike. My dad said, you know, you'd be much better with like a 3-speed or a 5-speed with a tire that's like this. You'll do much better on the dirt roads. Because, see, that's, you know, when you're 10, 12 years old, that's your only mode of transportation. And if I wanted to go someplace, I was going to have to ride my bike. If I was going to go to my grandpa and grandma's, my great-grandpa and grandma, because they were all on that dirt road. And if you know anything about that area, Kathy Kunze, you know what I'm talking about? It's all sand. Sandy roads to, you know. Well, my dad didn't say anything more. And guess what I got for my birthday? A Schwinn Stingray bike with a banana seat and little tires. Well, the first place I was going to do ride that bike was down to my grandpa and grandma's. I didn't get more than a mile down the road, and you know what I realized? I had the wrong bike. I realized Dad was right. You think I said anything about that? Oh, no. Do you know how much longer it took me to get where I was going? Do you know how much more I sweat? Then I decided I was going to take a long trip one day. I got so pooped out. And then all of a sudden, down the road, I see my dad coming. See, I was going to take this long bike trip on my little bike with my little knapsack on. Kenny on the road. Boy, my bike looked good, but I didn't look so good. I was sweating, red face. My dad pulled over. I'll never forget. He looked out the window and he said, "Need a ride?" He got out of the car, took my bike, put it in the trunk, and we got in the car. And I looked over at him after a while. I spent the first 10 minutes looking out the window. And then finally I kind of looked over. When I looked at my dad, the look on his face was not a look of anger. It was a look of love. He didn't preach to me about how I had bought the wrong bike at all. He didn't punish me. You know what he gave me? He gave me what I needed. He gave me a ride home. That's what I needed. Well, you know, in the scriptures, that happened to a number of people. That same experience. They had that same kind of an experience that I had riding in that car. In that car, I didn't hear the rooster crow like Peter did. I didn't hear the fish belch like Jonah did. I didn't get a ring and a robe and sandals like the prodigal did. But I learned from my father on earth what those three learned about their father in heaven. Our God is not a fair weather father. He's not a love 'em and leave 'em father. He's a father that allows us free will. A father that allows us to make choices that are wrong and to go our own way. He's a father that allows us to suffer consequences. In Luke chapter 15, verses 14 through 16 of the story I read for you, it speaks about after he'd spent everything and there was a famine in the land. He realized he was bankrupt. He realized he was bankrupt. The father allowed the consequence to happen. Some of you wonder, why has this happened to me? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know why? Because our Father loves us so much that He gave us free will to make the choices. But with the choices, He allows us to have the consequence in our life as well. Did He still love His son that was far off? Of course He did. Did He not care that His son was in such dire straits? Of course He did. He cared. But if He rescued His son from the suffering, what would the son learn? Nothing. You see, oftentimes the world offers us instant gratification with long-term consequences. The son no doubt had a good time wasting his money. I'm sure. Boy, he celebrated. He had money in his pocket. He had a great time. But then he found himself broke and lonely and in need. And it wasn't until he got to the end of his rope that he comes to his senses. And when he came to his senses, he said, I need to go home to my father. So our Father gives us free will. Free will even to make mistakes. But secondly, our Heavenly Father is present through all those circumstances. His Father was present to him. His father was present in the home waiting for him. And his father was also compassionate when his son repented. When his son turned and literally turned and came home again. His son was going away from home. And then his son realized that was the wrong direction and said, I'm going to turn around and go home. How many of you have run from home? The home of the Father. How many of you have run from that place where God is, where the Father loves you and provides for you, where the Father gave you a peace that passes all understanding, where the Father gave you a joy that was bubbling, and you left that place? You made a choice. He gave you the choice, and you made the wrong choice, and you went in the other direction. And we even say, I went in the wrong direction. And then you realize, and you go, oh my goodness, look at the consequences of what I've done. And you say, I got to go home. I got to get home. I got to get home. I've got to get back home. I've got to get back home where the Father is that protects me, provides for me in His presence. I've got to get home. I've got to turn around. I've got to repent and go back. And the Son does that. And as He's coming back, we love this part of the story. The Father sees Him a long distance off. And I like to add a little bit of spice to the story. I think He kind of knew how His son walked and ran. We can tell that. Those of us that maybe your kids have been in sports and you've watched them, I know exactly how our son Chris took off when he hit the ball. And I would watch. He had a way of running. I could tell his run any place. People walk different. Isn't it funny to watch a little boy mimicking his dad's walk? It's a crazy thing to see. We walk in a special way. We run in a special way. And I think that daddy was looking off in the horizon and he saw his son coming. And he knew it was his son by the way his son was walking and running home. He knew it was his son. He knew it was his son. Because the Bible says, while he was far off, the father saw him. And I think the scriptures, I think Jesus even is putting a little more fat on this story when he tells us this, because I believe every day probably that father was watching for his son. There are some of you today that are waiting every day for a phone call from your son or your daughter. There are some of you waiting for a letter. There are some of you waiting for a visit. And every day you wait for that phone call. Every day you wait for that letter. Every day you wait for them to come to your door. Every day you're just waiting for them to come back. You're just waiting. Some of you are praying for your children today. Some of you daddies, some of you mommies, you're praying for your children. You wait. You're waiting. Every day you don't give up because you're the parent. You know. You love them. And you know that when they call, you'll talk. You know when they come to the door, you'll open the door. you know that. Even those of you that are mad at your kids for something they did, if they show up, you'll love them because they're your kid. This father sees his son coming. Sees his son coming. He's waiting while he was far off. He's looking, hoping against hope that someday his prodigal would come home. There's something about Jewish law that you need to be aware of that makes this story even more profound. According to Jewish law, a father had the right to stone his son who did what his son had done. This father, under the law, could have met his son and stoned him to death. You want to know something else about Jewish law that's even sheds more light on this story? And my guess is that you weren't aware of this. Also, under Jewish law, a person was known not only by their name, but where they were from. Do you remember in Scripture often we read Jesus of Nazareth? That where he was from was tied to his name. Now, let me tell you something interesting about that. Under the law, if someone from the town of the prodigal son would have seen him before the father saw him, they could have stoned him for bringing ruin to the name of the town. Are you picking up on this? So the father could stone his son, his prodigal son, for what his son had done. He could kill his son. But also the father knew that if someone from that town saw his son, they had the right to stone his son too, because of what he had done to the name of the town. Why do you think the dad ran out to meet the son? Because if a town person would have seen the son before the father, the town person could have killed his son. He wasn't going to let that happen. No way was he going to let that happen. The father ran, not only out of love, but he ran out of concern for his son. He sees his son, oh, it's my son. And in love, he starts running, but also out of concern, because if there's someone from the city, they can meet him too, before intercept him before he even gets home and kill him. The father ran out. The father shows compassion. The father also gives grace when the son deserved judgment. And that's what God our Father does. He gives grace to us when we deserve judgment. The issue, friends, with God, listen to me. Listen, if you hear nothing else right now. The issue for God is not where you've been or what you've done, but where are you now? The issue is not where you've been or what you've done. It's always where you are. The father didn't slap the son across the face and ask what was wrong with him. He didn't preach a sermon. His joy was strong, and his love for his son was stronger than his anger toward his son. When God says to Adam in the Garden of Eden, "Where are you?" Was it that God didn't know where he was? Of course God knew where he was. He wasn't asking to find out where he was. He wanted them to realize where they were. God asks you today, where are you? The Father says to you today, where are you? The Father's waiting for you to come home. Does that capture you at all? I mean, the Father is waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to crawl across that doorstep, even if you have to crawl across. He's waiting for you. Not to give you what you deserve. Not to give you what you deserve. That would be stoning. We've screwed up. But to give you his grace. Why is it we won't talk about God as Father? What a robbery in the church today when we refuse to talk about God as Father. We strip away the very essence. We strip away the very thing that God gives us to live in strength and joy when we strip the fatherhood of God away. And yet we seem to be just bound as people that want to be culturally sensitive and all this stuff to rob the world of a Father God. 40% of all the children in America tonight will go to bed without a father in their home. We got a father crisis in our nation. You want to talk about racial issues? You want to talk about shootings? I haven't looked recently, but I know a year ago, all but one of the major shootings that have happened in this country, the shooter was fatherless. You want to talk about fatherlessness in this country and social issues? Let's get down to it. And where does the fatherless thing come? When we rob ourselves of the understanding of the Father God, then it all collapses. It all goes to pot. Literally goes to pot. It's crazy. God says, call me Father. Because that's what I am. That's what I want to be to you. And for those of you that say, I don't like Father's Day because my father stunk, well, guess what? You've got a heavenly Father that says, I want to be your Father. I'll adopt you. I'll take you in. I want you to be my son, my daughter. Friends, it's a happy Father's Day for all of us because we have a heavenly Father. The most important issue this morning between God and us is whether or not we've come home. Have you come home? He invites you to come home. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ear, we see it all around us. Oh my, God the Father will provide for you. He will protect you. And he will always be with you. He always will be with you. We're going to close this morning with something very, very special that I've been waiting since Christmas, I guess. Bruce Resman wrote a song that we sang at Easter, I believe, sometime around Easter. Hallelujah. And it was a great song, but he wrote another song at the same time. And when he sang it for me at their home, and I listened to Bruce sing this song, I thought, this is a wonderful sending song. This is a song about God the Father putting his arm around your shoulder. I mean, this is a great song. I love this song that Bruce wrote, the words and the music. And the idea was this morning we were going to send the confirmands out on this song. I wanted to save it for Confirmation Sunday. But then I had another idea. Why don't we sing it in rehearsal for Confirmation Sunday? We'll sing better that day if we've heard it once. So this morning, Bruce is going to sing the song he wrote. And when he's done singing it through once or twice, or I don't know how long you're going to sing it through, then we're going to sing along with him. And this is one of those songs like, may the good Lord bless and keep you. You know, it's one of those kind of songs that is a song of sending, a song of benediction. a song about God the Father, Abba Father, Daddy. So Bruce, I'm so grateful for God giving you this gift and for you sharing it with us. Thanks.
So here we go. Here we go. You can hear me? No, you can't hear me. How about now? We got sound and voice. That's a good thing. Now I got to move this where I can actually read it. May the good Lord wrap his arms around your shoulders. May he heal your pain and carry your load today. He will walk with you and protect you from danger. He'll lift your spirits up along the way. There isn't anything that you can't tell him. It's up to you that your faith doesn't stray. When you walk through life, you might not always see him. But if you open your heart, he will show you the way. You have a network of friends in the church that will support you, and you don't even need to kneel to pray. When I reach the darkest part of my depression, I felt that I lost his love for all time. When I asked him for forgiveness, I could feel his smile and the warmth of his sunshine. I know that I strayed from the path of the righteous, only to learn that his love and forgiveness were always mine. May the good Lord wrap his arms around your shoulder. May he heal your pain and carry your load today. He will walk with you and protect you from danger. He'll lift your spirits up along the way. May the good Lord wrap his arms around your shoulder.
So I think, I mean, that's a sermon and a song, isn't it? I mean, that song just keeps going on and on. The story, the testimony, the experience of walking with God the Father. And I'm guessing that we're going to sing it, so if we can get it back up there, that would be great. Maybe this is your story, but this song, as it progresses, really gives to us the answer of the Father God. So would you stand with me? And I'm looking forward to singing it with Bruce. And I hope you are too. And then we're off to coffee.
May the good Lord wrap his arms around your shoulder. May he heal your pain and carry your load today. He will walk with you and protect you from danger. He'll lift your spirits up along the way. There isn't anything that you can't tell him. It's up to you that your faith doesn't stray. When you walk through life, you might not always see him. But if you open your heart, he will show you the way. You have a network of friends in the church that will support you. And you don't even need to kneel to pray. When I reach the darkest part of my depression, I felt that I lost his love for all time. But when I asked him for forgiveness, I could feel his smile and the warmth of his sunshine. I know that I strayed from the path of the righteous, only to learn that his love and forgiveness were always mine. Good Lord, wrap his arms around your shoulder. May he heal your pain and carry your load today. He will walk with you and protect you from danger. He'll lift your spirits up along the way. May the good Lord wrap his arms around your shoulder.
Well, and that's our prayer today for all of you, that the good Lord, the Father God, Abba, Daddy, would wrap his arm around your shoulder this week as you walk with him. Well, this morning we've celebrated Father's Day with a big F for fathers, F-A-T-H-E-R-S, our Father in heaven. And I hope that you are grateful for him. And I hope that today, if you haven't come home, that you would think about coming home because he's waiting for you. There's a lot of dads waiting for calls. But I'll tell you, there's no one that's more longing to hear from you today than your Heavenly Father. This week, I will appreciate your prayers as I'll be in Kansas City all week. I'll have my cell phone is working again, so if you need to get in touch with me, feel free to do that. But would you pray as I'm at a required meeting that I need to be at for the Evangelical Covenant Church that I have my ordination with. And it's going to be a week of long meetings. These are not play weeks. These are grueling weeks. And frankly, I don't look forward to it, but just pray that that denomination, that that body would also move with wisdom and truth. Now may the Lord bless you, my dear friends, and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the all-knowing Abba, Daddy, Father, the all-loving Son, and the all-empowering Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said,